Congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's my privilege to welcome you all this morning, and I do that in Christian manner. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us then sing to his praise. We'll do that from Psalm 150, verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Long ago, when the Lord delivered his people from their slavery in Egypt, he brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. And there he spoke with his own voice the words of the Ten Commandments. It was not the intention to scare the people, although they did become scared, but it was the intention to show them that he, the awesome creator of heaven and earth, would take them as his own. And that he can rightly expect, having shown and demonstrated his love, that we would respond with thankfulness. And let us then, with thankful and respectful hearts, hear those words of his law, and we'll respond with the singing of Psalm 107, the verses 2, 3, and 4. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Thank you.
Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of coming together to worship you, to sing together your praises, to be here as your people. Lord, we know and understand that we do not deserve this. Your grace has come to us in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we desperately need his salvation. We confess that. For even as we strive to follow your holy law, strive to be thankful to you with our lives, so many times yet we fail. Our love for you and for our neighbor is not perfect. And we so easily get frustrated. We so easily become wrongfully angry. We so easily sin in so many ways against you and against our neighbor. And we confess these sins and we ask, Lord, that you would graciously forgive them and cover them with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. But more than that, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in and through us by your word and spirit, that more and more we might be conformed to the image of your Son. And more we might show a true thankfulness to you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us that power of your Spirit and Word. That would be evident again as we reflect upon a portion of your Word this morning. And either after encouraged and strengthened by the sacrament of Holy Supper. Lord, we pray for your blessing. Receive our worship this morning. And speak to us, we pray, in the name of your Son, our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all glory and honor forevermore. Amen. At this time, your offerings will be taken. They are this morning and this afternoon a thank offering. It is today Thanksgiving Sunday. Thereafter, we'll be singing from Psalm 132, the verses 8 and 9. We sing there about Jerusalem. We ought to remember, of course, that we reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who now dwells in the new Jerusalem of the heavenly Zion, and that we, worshipping assemblies here on earth, are directly bound to this heavenly city of which we are citizens. And so after the collection, verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 132. Our text this morning you will find in Psalm 113. Praise the Lord, which in Hebrew is Hallelujah. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that He may seat him with princes, with the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we'll be singing from Psalm 117. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today in our Church Federation is Thanksgiving Sunday, when in prayer we reflect upon God's blessings over the past year. And indeed, despite the interruptions that we've had with respect to COVID, we have not gone hungry. We are not totally without work. And as church, we are still in peace, able to assemble to worship and to praise the name of our God, Creator and Saviour, bearing witness to His grace in the community. And therefore I deemed it good to reflect this morning upon a praise psalm. Psalm 113, which is a call to praise, and a psalm that in Israel was the beginning of a series of psalms that praise the Lord and that were used and sung every year, particularly at the Feast of Passover. They are called, translated from Hebrew, the Great Praise, namely Psalms 113 through to the end of Psalm 118. Well, indeed, Psalm 113 calls us, it summons us to praise God. And I don't know about you, but occasionally perhaps our thoughts can reflect upon things and we see such a call to praise in Scripture and we hear all the time in church, you've got to praise the Lord, you've got to sing His praises, we're made to praise Him. I wonder if the thought ever flitters through your mind, is God then egotistical? Is for God it all about me, me, me? And of course, when such a thought flits across our mind, we realize immediately, hey, there must be something wrong here. And indeed, there very much is something wrong. For we then are acting and thinking exactly like Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Reflect on that for a moment. God had created this wonderful universe, this world, this earth, as a place where He could put His greatest creation, the pinnacle of creation, mankind, for them to live, to work, to enjoy, and, of course, to lead a life that would be totally thankful to their Creator. And yet, at a certain point, probably having lived there in the garden with the Lord for at least a year, he's been teaching them how to survive on the earth. One day, and it only takes just a little push by the devil, disguised as a serpent in a tree, they begin to think, well, you know, what's in it for God? What might be in it for us? He stops us from eating the fruit of this particular tree. What kind of a reason might he have? And maybe we ought to be acting on our own authority to come up for ourselves. And that was the beginning of the fall into sin, as you well know. And that transformed totally our relationship to God. From a beneficial creator, from a love relationship, all of a sudden God rightly becomes the angry judge. And this earth, this whole world, a judgment hangs over it, which will come, and only by God's patience and grace has been delayed. As he seeks to be reconciled with mankind. And he has shown how far he is prepared to go for that reconciliation by sending his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you rethink things and put the world and your existence back into that perspective, then again, it makes sense, this summons, praise the Lord. Instead of only being able to look forward to a moment when this whole world will be judged by a righteous and angry Creator, even now, I can belong to his people, to be called his servants. And there's another tradition of reading in the beginning of this psalm, which reads, instead of servants, his children. Both, of course, are scriptural images of our relationship to God restored through his grace. And so, quite rightly, the psalm in Israel was sung at Passover, when they truly, as an assembly of God's people, come together to recognize that he brought them to the land of Israel. He delivered them from their slavery. He made them his own. And that brings me to the second point this morning, the wow factor. Why should we then praise the Lord? Verses 4 and 5 tell us, look, the Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. A more powerful being you could not imagine. Having created the universe, dwelling even above the sky that we can see with our eyes. Who is like the Lord? Who causes himself to dwell on high. And then, as this impossibly majestic and awesome being humbles himself to behold what's going on this earth, whether it be in the sky or on the ground itself. And what does he do when he humbles himself to take note in detail of this planet and its goings on? He raises the poor out of the dust, lifts the needy out of the ash heap. And if you're in Israel and you're singing this, celebrating the Passover, you are remembering how you were on the dung heaps of Egypt. And the Lord brought you out from there with a mighty hand and demonstrated something of his power. He raised you from being poor slaves to being able to inherit the land that he gave to his people. That his people could all of a sudden sit, as it were, with princes, literally with the people who are well off enough to be able to give freely and not even think about what's coming out of their own coffers. He grants the barren woman a home. When I think in terms of Israel, of Passover, of coming into the promised land, I don't know, my thoughts immediately go to somebody like Rahab the harlot who had nothing, no home, no house. She's a prostitute. And what happens? God gives her a place and a family in Israel, his own people. That is the wow factor of this God that summons us to praise him. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if his grace, his mercy, his love, his care for his people was so great back then, do you think it is any less now, having been demonstrated all the more in Jesus Christ, his Son? Is that not the absolute humiliation? That God humbled himself so much that his only begotten Son becomes one of us, dies on the cross, to take upon himself the punishment that we ought to be receiving. And it's that wow factor, if you will, of an awesome God that goes so far to reconcile a people to himself that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. As we come to this table, as we remember that in the death and, mark you, resurrection of his Son, our life together as children of God becomes possible. That brings me to the final point, your exuberance. Because if there's one thing that this psalm oozes, it is exuberance. And just turn back to the beginning. You get that summons. Praise the Lord. Who am I talking about? Praise servants of the Lord. You. Praise what? Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be his name. How long? Forever. From this time forth, forevermore. For you personally, from the moment the sun goes up to the moment it goes down. In other words, this should characterize your life. We're not just talking about a worship service, a feast when you assemble together. We are talking about something that characterizes your very existence. Praise the Lord. All day. Every day. And I think that leaves us with a question, doesn't it? If we reflect upon this ourselves, ask ourselves, well, actually, does this really characterize my existence? Do I feel myself? Do I experience myself to be here to praise the Lord? And when I think about my faith, when I think about the Lord, when I think about who I am, is that what immediately comes out of me? Yes. Praise the Lord. I can be a child of his. I can look forward to salvation in Jesus Christ, to a life on a restored heaven and earth. And whatever gets sent me in this life, and sometimes there can be difficult things as well. Wow. God will get me through this. Day by day, I can rely upon him. Well, you know, the only way we're going to develop any kind of sense of being, of existence that lives like that, to praise the Lord, is when we truly commune with him every day. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Yeah, you can still call yourself Christian, but if you're not really and genuinely every day communing with the Lord, it becomes a bit humdrum, and you do the things, and you still might feel in your heart, yeah, I believe, but yeah, that idea of I want to be here to praise the Lord, that sort of just slowly dies off. And to commune with the Lord, we wake up in the morning. We pray for his blessing upon the day. We have moments in that day where we can meditate upon his word, his holy word, that word that speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. And whether that's before or after our meals, whether that's set times that we've made for ourselves, we are communing with the Lord. And that keeps us focused, because that communing is not just something you do for yourself. The Holy Spirit works through that. And we speak to God, and we understand that God watches over us. He humbles himself to look upon the things of this world, particularly of his children. And then our existence is transformed, that we really begin to function as his children and respond almost automatically to that summons. Praise the Lord. Furthermore, this morning, brothers and sisters, as we come to that table of the Lord to remember his sacrifice to the death for us, let us be strengthened to truly live that life of praise to God in the coming week. Amen. We're going to sing from one of those Hallel Psalms, Psalm 117. Consistory, there is the following announcement this morning. Following the election for deacon, the consistory has appointed Brother Gareth van der Wal to the office of deacon, and ordination will take place, Lord willing, in this afternoon's service. In our prayer, we give thanks for the operation that our brother Martin Pluck was able to have in this past week. He remains in hospital, as was the plan, as he recuperates. I've also heard that Brother Timmer hopes to be able to go to Fairhaven in this coming week, and we will give thanks for that and also pray that that might be a good and comfortable transition for him. And of course, we will be praying for our Brother Tyrone Cortes and giving thanks to the Lord for everything that he has given to us in this past year. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, to you belongs our praise, our lives, for you have purchased us with the blood of your own Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have, in that salvation, as it were, given us our life back. It has been taken and condemned by sin, but we've received it back from you. And we pray, Lord, that you would so work in us by your Holy Spirit that indeed more and more our true desire would be to praise you in everything. And therefore we pray, Lord, that you would also encourage us by your word and spirit, And if we have been lax in our communion with you, Lord, that you would prick our conscience, that we might truly desire to have that living relationship with you in Jesus Christ, and to make use of that holy word that you have entrusted to us in the Bible, that we might continue to grow in grace and faith and in dedication to you. Lord, there are so many things for which we can give you thanks. And particularly today, as we reflect upon the past year, we thank you for the undeserved prosperity that we continue to enjoy in Western Australia. That we can see that crops abound and are able to be sold. That we've been able to work and to earn not only sufficient to feed ourselves and our families, but also to provide for others, to provide for your church, to even enjoy a surplus. Lord, that all comes from your blessing over us. We thank you, Lord, for the families that you have given us. We thank you for the promise of your gospel that keeps us looking forwards, even in difficult times, forwards to the return of your Son. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that it is in him and in him alone that your blessings upon us are founded. We pray that you would keep us ever thankful, that we would not take for granted the peace that we enjoy, the ability to assemble together, to worship you. Lord, we thank you in particular this morning for the operation that our brother Martin Plug was able to have in the past week. We pray that you would continue to be with him and near to him as he recuperates, that in your time he may once again be able to come home. We pray, Lord, that you would grant your blessing also upon our brother Tyrone Courthouse and his continuing treatment. We pray that you would be near also to his parents and family. We pray, Lord, for our brother Timmer, as he hopes to go to Fairhaven in the coming week. Lord, we pray that that may be a good transition for him, and that he may be blessed there, and himself able to continue to be thankful to you and to bless your holy name. Lord, we pray for your churches throughout the world. We think of the churches we're privileged to be able to support in Sumba. We think, Lord, also of churches in the Ukraine at present, under the threat of possible invasion. We ask, Lord, that you would make them strong, and that whatever by your providential hand should occur, they would seek to praise you and to use any and every circumstance that eventuates as an opportunity to shine the light of your gospel to those around them. May we also open our eyes to the opportunities you give us for shining that same light in our own community. Lord, we do ask this in the name of your Son, our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Congregation at the Lord's Supper Table, we wish to invite all confessing members of this congregation in Rockingham. Our celebration of the Lord's Supper is closely supervised, and if you're not a member of this congregation or an announced visitor, while we encourage you to remain with us in church, we ask that you do not come forward and join in with the eating and drinking at the table. And this is in no way a judgment on your faith in Christ. Instead, it's because the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord's Supper is a communal celebration, and that as a church community, we are responsible to keep the table holy. And further, we care for the body of Christ and the unity in faith that we share as members of this church. We call one another to account, And the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a central part to the way we practice this care and discipline for our members. For these reasons, we believe it's good, and according to the Word of God, for us to supervise the Lord's table in this way. Let us now read the form for the celebration of Holy Supper. We find that on page 603 of the Book of Prayers. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of our Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner, and all who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way, all who do not diligently attend the worship services, and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments, all who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them, all who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him, all who, either within or outside of holy wedlock, do not keep their bodies pure, all who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life, all liars, backbiters, and slanderers, briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving, and by leading an offensive life, while they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We're also aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We don't have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily, we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted His supper. Namely, that we should use it in remembrance of Him. And we're to remember Him in the following manner. First of all, let's fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world, according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that He assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life on earth, He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By His perfect obedience, He has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of Him sweat like drops of blood falling upon the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, He was bound that He might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, He was condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let His blessed body be nailed to the cross that He might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this He has taken our curse upon Himself. On the cross He humbled Himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. And He called out with a loud voice, my God, why have You forsaken Me? That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by Him. Finally, by His death and the shedding of His blood, He confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when He said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during His last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to His disciples in remembrance of Him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we are reminded and assured of His hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that He's given His body and shed His blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with His crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of Him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that He directs our faith and trust to His perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground of our salvation. Therefore, He has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by His death, He has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. And by His Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as His members, we have true communion with Him and share in all His riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we're also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another, and shall show this to one another not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until He comes. We receive at His table a foretaste of the abundant joy which He has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when He will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of His Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament to the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves and confess our Saviour. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now together rise as we profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith by singing the Apostles' Creed as we find that in hymn 1. Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. And while the first table is prepared, we shall sing together from Psalm 92. 5, verse 1. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. And we read the verses 28 through 30, where the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let us respond in singing from Psalm 113, verse 1. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins.
Cup of blessing,
for which we give thanks, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We read together from Psalm 19, verse 14. Reflecting upon what we heard in the sermon, the psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let's respond by singing verse 2 of Psalm 113. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat from it. All of you remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take it, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. We read together from Psalm 119, the last couple of verses of the strophe that begins with the letter Beit, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's sing verse 3 of Psalm 113.
Thank you.
bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take a drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Read from Psalm 119, the first couple of verses of the section Gimel, verses 17 and 18. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Let's respond in singing from hymn 85, verse 1.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank you that you give us a true faith through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Our final song this morning you will find in hymn 85, the verses 2 and 3. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.